It is time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing Word of Truth, and we thank you for that. And we're on Lesson 15 in a dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Verse 14, that he might fulfill which was spoken by Elias the prophet, saying. In chapter 4, verse 12, if you think about what they just said, Jesus hears that John is in prison. Okay, and he departs into Galilee. And he remains there until Matthew chapter 19. That's a long time, by the way. Okay, so he leaves Jerusalem area and he goes north into Galilee. And John, the forerunner, has been silenced. You know, we talked about John the Baptist. He was the porter, wasn't he? He opened a door to get into the little flock. And now he's been silenced. Now it is time for Lord Jesus Christ to increase, and his ministry is underway. We looked at what he did in chapter 3, at the end of chapter 3, and then he goes up on a mountain and was tempted by the tempter. And all. He leaves Jerusalem. Doctrinally, Jesus leaves the apostate Jerusalem and goes north to identify himself with the little flock, okay, and to take up a position as shown in prophecy. That's exactly what it says, is leaving Nazareth. And in verse 15, in the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. He established up there in the north a true vine with branches of fruit, and to gather the governmental structure of his kingdom. Go to Matthew chapter 21. That's what he's doing, okay? What is the book of Matthew? How does it portray the Lord Jesus Christ as? King. Okay? And we're seeing some things about him being identified as a king. And Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, verse 43. Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. So if he's taking it from a nation, who would that be? Who's that?
Gentile.
No, he's taking it from the nation.
Israel.
Okay? He's taking that kingdom of God from the nation of Israel. What do we say the nation of Israel was? It was in apostasy, right? It was not going what God's saying. So he's taking that government away from that nation, and he's going to give it to a foolish nation, if you think about it, what they talk about, a little flock. Go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things, verse 31, things shall be added unto you, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasures to give to you the what? Kingdom. So he's telling that little flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. Now, if you're a king, can you do that? You have the power and authority to do that. Luke 22, verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father have appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's going up there with the 12, if you will, and he's telling them, you're going to have authority. Go to Matthew 19. Stay in Luke and go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, and but keep in Luke where we're at. Matthew 19, 28. Some of these verses we already looked at, but think about this. He's gone away from that Jerusalem, so because John's in prison. Okay, he takes off north. He's going to go up there and start a ministry up there with his little flock. And verse 19:28 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory," when is that going to take place? Second coming, or ages to come, if you will. You know, it's not happening now. It didn't happen in the past. It's not happening in the present, but it will happen in the future. "Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of" who? Israel. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19. Verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear." Now, some of them thought that, didn't they? But he was what to Jerusalem? Nigh to Jerusalem. He was there. He was supposed to be the king, and the kingdom's coming with the king. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. "But ye are a chosen generation." This is Peter writing to a group of the little flock, a remnant group over here in ages to come, where they're going through some tribulation periods, the wrath of God's pouring out on them. They're going to understand the Word of God, rightly divided. Because Peter's not going to take you back over here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, to live. Peter's not going to take them, in Romans through Philemon that Paul has established today for the believers. He's taken the little flock, the little group of remnant, the Bible believers in ages to come, and he's sharing this with them. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." What do we say about that royal? Now, you know, Moses said you're going to be a priesthood, didn't he? A priest. A kingdom of priests. Now they're a royal. Jesus Christ is setting up his throne over there. "A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So in times past, they wasn't a people. See? But now they are. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. So when Lord Jesus Christ goes up there, he's starting that government, he's gathering that governmental structure of his kingdom. He's edifying them. He's telling them what they're doing. To me, that would be kind of scary. Like, oh, Lord, you're going to put that on me? You're going to make me over some tribes? You know, if you're not ready and prepared, you'd probably get weak-kneed, wouldn't you? But those in Christ Jesus wouldn't get weak-kneed. But let me share something with you. If Jesus Christ, he left the apostate Israel, do you remember in Daniel, and we have not studied the book of Daniel yet, but we will eventually, but Daniel talks about some things that in times past, there's three steps that Israel failed politically. Now, you may not have that in your notes, but I'm going to give it to you. Three times God gave Israel a chance, and they failed politically. That's why when he came on the scene, the apostate Israel was in charge. It wasn't the true Israel. You with me? And then remember, there's a king called Jehoiakim. Okay, in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, 5-7. Then you had a king, Jehoiachin, if I'm pronouncing that right. That's in chapter 36, verses 8-9. Then you had a Zedekiah, was 36, 11-13. Those three kings, okay, starts to fall politically. And then in 2 Kings chapter 28, you had a blind king that's leading the nation Israel. He's blind. The three kings of Israel was captured by King Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? They fail politically. There's three steps of Israel to be restored in the kingdom. Started with John the Baptist. What did they do with him? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. What, it rejected them, right? Okay? Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. They rejected him. See this? They rejected him. Then, the Holy Spirit with apostles, the kingdom of heaven is offered in Acts chapter 3. What did they do? They rejected it. Then in Acts chapter 13, Bar-Jesus, a blind Jew. There's a lot of comparison with this. And in Romans chapter 11, verses 7, verse 11, verse 20-25, it talks about the fall of Israel. They have been blinded. With me? So they had the chance to restore that political system, but they fail. Then, not only do you have the three steps that they fail politically, but they also fail, Israel fail spiritually. Okay? In Acts 13, verses 44-46, turn to the Gentiles. That's at Antioch. Okay? In Acts 18, go to the Gentiles. That's Greece. In Acts chapter 28, go to the Gentiles. Salvation is gone. Going, going, gone. There was a time that the glory of God sitting on the throne got up and went to the threshold. Daniel talks about. Then he leaves the threshold and he goes outside the mountains. He gets up, boom, 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 three times. He's gone. The political structure that God set up for Israel in times past, they didn't have it anymore. And they were so blinded they didn't realize that. They should have realized, whoa, what's happening here? But guess what? Ignorance. Ignorance. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. I just want to share that with you. That's why Lord Jesus Christ couldn't do no work there. They're not going to listen to Him as their king. So what does He do? He goes up north. He goes up to the Sea of Galilee. He goes up there. 14, 15, and 16, Matthew. Verse 16. The people who had sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of the death, light is sprung up. For verse 17, from this time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, repent, for the kingdom is at what? Hand. Verse 14, all the fulfillment which was spoken by Isaiah, that's chapter 8. Verses 13 through 19. He's prophesying what the Messiah was going to do. Verse 14, the land of Zebulun was an area which the Jews lived but were cut off from those in Jerusalem. Let me share this with you. You know about the 10 tribes went north and they left two tribes down there, right? Okay. You know, you always talk about the lost tribes of Israel. Where are they? Where are they? It was something on the History Channel the night that they ended up in Michigan. You know? And yeah, because they found a cup that was written on that matched that era. Well, it turned out, if you finished watching the program, the woman, the daughter of the man that found all this stuff, written later, that her father made that up in the back of their, you know, just to have something there. We talk about lost tribe of Israel. They settled down in hometown where I live, in that area. So the thing is, they're not lost. They're up north. But when Jesus Christ came and died, when the 12 apostles was there at Pentecost, they was a representative of every tribe there in Jerusalem. So they wasn't lost. People gets fascinated about that stuff because you know something? If God ain't dealing with nation today, He's dealing with what? Nations. Look at this. They was cut off. They did not consider them as being a part of that nation. But there was Jews up there, right? Okay? And this is the very place where Jesus goes and takes the light of darkness to the group of nobodies. You know, a lot of people say, well, he's taking up he's taking it out to the Gentiles. No, he didn't. Romans chapter 10, verse 19. Romans chapter 9, verses 33. Acts chapter 4. I'll repeat that again. Verse 13. Romans chapter 10, 19. Romans chapter 9, 33. And Acts chapter 4, verse 13 tells you who's up there. Now, if we rightly divide the word of truth, what we know about Romans chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, it's written to who? It's written to Israel, right. It's written to the Jews. Paul is explaining to the saved Israelite that was under that kingdom program what God is doing with the nation. Okay? But let me ask you something. Let me show you something. The 11 of the 12 disciples came from Galilee. There's only one came from down south. Judas, which is Judah. If you look at some of the Hebrew Old Testament, it's Judah. And that's the one that betrayed him. But I think about the Galilee. You probably know this more than I would. The Sea of Galilee, and then there's a river, and then it empties out in the what? Dead Sea, right?
What do you mean the one who betrayed him?
Judas betrayed him.
Yeah.
He's the only one came from Judah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
He came from Judah. He didn't come from Galilee. Go to verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. From that time, okay, not before when he was born, not before when he got baptized, not before he went up in the mountains and was tempted by the tempter, but at that time, he begins, where's he at now? He's not in Jerusalem, is he? Where is he at? In the Galilee of the Gentiles. Okay? That's what they called him up there because they didn't recognize there was people up there. This begins the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is one of several great divisions in the book of Matthew that you have to recognize. Because he don't change that message to hold your finger and go to Matthew chapter 16. He's being announced as the son of David going to the throne. Remember what we said about Matthew being split up in two books? The seed of David and the seed of Abraham. Okay, the first part's going to deal with him being David as that kingdom throne, and the second part's going to be the Son of Man that he's going to have to die. What does verse 21 say? From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again. What? The third day. From that time. So from Matthew chapter 4 verse 17 all the way over to Matthew chapter 16 verse 21, he is preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's got the gospel of the kingdom. He's not preaching death, burial, and resurrection. You understand that? Okay, many of you do. Thank you. Another division occurs after that. He announces him as the son of the living God, related to Abraham going to the cross and die. But from that point forward, okay, began Jesus, without turning there, Matthew chapter 17 verse 5 says, God the Father says again, my beloved son. See, God is pleased with what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. Okay? He's being faithful right to the T. Christ now continues the message of John the Baptist back in Matthew chapter 4 and preaches the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom. Let's look at some verses. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in the synagogues. Now, if there's synagogues up there, guess who's up there?
Jews.
But the Jerusalem didn't recognize them up there, but they was up there. And the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. He's preaching what? The gospel, the good news of the kingdom. Hold your finger there and go to Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the who? The people. Who's the people, if you know your Bible? Israel. And now they're a little remnant, if you will. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 6. I'm not going to read all these, but look, verse 1 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some manners of sickness and all manners of sicknesses and all manners of diseases. And he lists the 12, verse 5, and these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Well, wait a minute. I thought he was in the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of the Gentiles. Galilee of the Gentiles. That was just what the Jews called it up there. Okay? Because they didn't recognize that there was Israelites up there. But what did he say? Do not go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of what? Israel. And what does they go doing? They go preaching the kingdom message. The gospel of the kingdom is at hand. Luke chapter 9, I think this just backs up what we just shared. Luke 9, 1 and 2. And he called... Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure all diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What gospel?
Gospel of the kingdom.
Verse 43, the same chapter. Verse 43. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God, but while they wondered every one of at the, all things which Jesus did, he said unto the disciples, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered to the hands of men. But they understood not these sayings, it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of the saying. Okay, then Luke 18, while you're there, go ahead and Luke 18. Lord Jesus Christ is trying to tell them what he's going to do eventually. Verse 31, then he took unto the 12, and he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that was written by the prophets concerning the Son of who? Man. Now, what did I say about the vision? The Son of David and the Son of Abraham. The Son of David has to do with that throne, that authority, that royal ship, if you will, lineage. The Son of Man has to do with Abraham, that he's come to die, that he's redeeming, okay? He says, the Son of Man shall be accomplished, verse 32. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and sped upon. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood everything he was saying. They understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, and neither knew they the things which was spoken. Until you get over in John chapter 20, verse 3, and he breathes on them, and they understood everything. They received the Holy Ghost then. You know, everybody said, oh, look at Pentecost. Well, they had the understanding when God breathed on them, they understood the things, what, hey, he had to go and suffer and die. But let me ask you something. As you were out there studying the Word of God, right, invited, and you're trying to share gospel truth or dispensational truth with people that supposedly knows their Bible, and they understand, how many things that you're sharing with them?
None.
So don't be surprised that you can't, you know, not surprised or discouraged that Brother Walt is not listening to and understanding what the Word of God says. Don't give up. You know, the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it can deliver. Okay? And if they're really itching, if they really want to know, that may sink down in their soul and say, wait a minute, this is truth. This is something, this I need to know more. Go back to Matthew. It is important to understand that the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is not the same gospel that we preach today. We know that, don't we?
Yes, sir.
There's a gospel of the kingdom. There's a gospel of the circumcision. There's a gospel of the uncircumcision. There's a gospel of the grace of God. Okay? There's an everlasting gospel. So which gospel is for today? The grace of God. You need to understand that the one gospel, and there's more than one gospel, which I've just shared. We preach that what God gave Paul, okay, the gospel of the grace of God, which is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. That's the gospel of Christ. The good news, what Christ did, or has another gospel I didn't mention. Okay, that's what he did at Calvary, the good news that he sacrificed. We went through some things in the contrast lessons, if you want to go back and review those. It's on the website, but you can see that, and we picked that up, that Peter preached the gospel of God. That's the good news of all this. There's a good news that God put forth from Genesis 3:15 all the way over to the end. Okay? The gospel of the kingdom of heaven and the gospel of the kingdom of God are one and the same, according to Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Okay? They're one and the same, what he preached. Only in Matthew will you find that terminology, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. That's the only time you find it. Any other time in the four accounts of his earthly ministry is the gospel, kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Now, Paul talks about a kingdom of God. Okay? That's the whole picture. Now you understand what God is doing in the heavenlies and in the earth. That's the whole kingdom of God. But in the book of Matthew, what kingdom of God do they know? On earth. We looked at that in the kingdom prophesied in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. It's back there in Deuteronomy chapter 11. But 20. Then you talked about the kingdom of the hand. That's what we're looking at now. Then the kingdom is offered in the first book of Acts. Then the kingdom is postponed in Romans through Philemon. God is not building a kingdom today. But he's building a body of believers that will sit in the kingdom of God and eternally. Then, in ages to come, in Hebrews through Revelation, he's dealing, the kingdom is established. And by the way, is that a spiritual kingdom? It's a literal, physical, Davidic kingdom on earth. Amen. It's physical, and it's also the kingdom of heaven is spiritual. Okay? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He calls for Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and he tells them to follow him, and he make them fishers of men. Habakkuk 1:15 talks about casting your nets. Okay? Matthew 3:14 talks about making them fishers of men. Okay? That was their occupation. So they knew what to do when they cast the nets, and what would they draw in. So he's saying, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. So they got a message to go out to make them fishers of men, right? In these verses, God likens men unto fish. This is called these men into the ministry. He's using their terminology, okay? So he can not persuade them, but they would understand that. Verses 21 through 22. Well, verse 20 says, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, and a ship with Zebedee's their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and follow him. Now, I don't want to make fun of this, but I hear people all the time saying, God's calling me to go to North Carolina or Virginia or Tennessee or Minnesota. Why? Or Michigan? I don't understand. But anyway, I'm just jokingly, but they're going to wait till the end of the year to do it. They got to wait till their funds are there. Did they wait? Immediately they took off. So if God's telling you to do something, why ain't you doing it? Sometimes I blame it on the pepperoni pizza, but most of the time when I hear a little voice, it's my spouse. And it's a honey-do list. Just joking. But anyway, I'm serious. You know, you better listen to who that's talking to, because I believe wholeheartedly, and I stand here on 2 feet with the Word of God, that God does not speak outside of His Word today. We have His Word written down in the English language where we can have it, and we know exactly what He's doing and saying. Now, that's hard for some people to swallow, but it's truth. And then once you understand that you do have the Word of God, and He does not speak outside His Word of God, and you understand it rightly divided, you can understand what He's doing and what He's saying, and you get that down in your ears. Let that sink down into your ears. James and John are called into the ministry. Let me ask you this. What is the characteristics of this calling is that these men leave everything. That's hard, isn't it? Many of you left homes and jobs and moved different places, didn't know nobody. Didn't know if you're going to have, you know, a loaf of bread in your on your cupboard. But they left their businesses, they left their family. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. We'll look at this right quick. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor let you, or yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow, they toil not, either do they spin. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God is so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Boy, there's churches that eat that up, don't they? and they pound that in your head. Oh, ye of little faith. Can't God do this? Can He? He most certainly can. But does He does it? If you bet, that's why you better understand the Word of God rightly divided and understand that God's a dispensationalist and He's not doing that today. If God's inside of you and you got the right doctrine in you, can't you make the right decision based on not emotions, but based on who you are in Christ? Is it going to affect my family? Is it going to affect my career? Is it going to affect my breadwinning? Okay? You can make some intelligence. You just don't throw everything down and God's going to provide. You know, we'll feel sorry for you and take you, give you groceries. And then we're going to educate you in the Word of God and say, listen, God, you better get back out here and get a job. That type of thing. Now, I don't want to sound mean, but that's just the way it is with me. You might as well not sugarcoat it. Verse 32. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto what? You. Matthew 19, same thing. Luke chapter 12, same thing. Luke chapter 14, same thing. Disciples' requirement of the kingdom was to do just that. Now, I know people out there are going to make disciples out of you, and they got disciples' trainings, but do they tell you that? They don't tell you to drop everything you got, sell everything you got. You know, usually it's a fee. Continue this, continue that. But they did it. That is a requirement of that discipleship to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because why is Matthew portraying God, Lord Jesus Christ again? As, would that king not provide everything you need? Now I know He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in Christ, I have that already. I do. Spiritually. I have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And all means what? All. Are they one more spiritual blessing I could ask God for? He's probably looking at me, son. You haven't even begun to tap into who you are in Christ Jesus and have the exceedingly riches in Christ Jesus. Hey, I'm a wealthy person. I really am. And that song we sung today at the cross, that's where our focus should be. But you know something? Sometimes I'm a man. I'm a human. And I want things. Just like you guys. You know, that's the human side of me. I like things, yeah. And I deserve them because I work for them. And I got to think, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this. I'm like, okay, how are we going to fund that? How are we going to fund that? So a lot of this stuff is out there, and I got to put it in the right picture, in the right puzzle piece. Before I can, you know, I'm not going to jump over here, which I have in the past, and put myself in debt to do things. God don't want us to be in debt.
Prioritize.
Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases. Jesus went about preaching and what? Healing. Okay, teaching, preaching, and healing. Accompanying the gospel of the kingdom is healing all manners of sicknesses and diseases. That's what goes on. You ever understand? You ever wonder why? Not prove who he was. What else?
Dress rehearsal.
There's no sickness in the kingdom. You go in that kingdom, you're made whole. Whole. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, verse 10. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself. Ye shall conceive chaff. Ye shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the people shall be as the burning of lime. As the thorns cut up, shall they be burnt into fire. Hear ye that are far off, what I have done, and what ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners of Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among you shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among you shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteousness and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression, they shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, they stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, they shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Boy, it sounds like what's going on today, don't it? He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Thy eyes shall see the king of his beauty. They shall behold the land that is far off. Thy heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counteth the towers? Thou shalt not see fierce people, a people of deeper speech than thou can perceive, of stammering tongues, that thou canst not understand. You know people doing stammering tongues today? I do. Stammering tongues. Look upon Zion, the city of our Solomonites. Thy eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of the stakes thereof shall even be removed, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the glorious Lord will be unto to his place of broad rivers and streams, wherein ye shall go no gallery with oars, neither shall gallant ships pass thereby. There's not going to be a war and stuff. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Now, is that uppercase? Who is that? But Jehovah, God. Now, who's going to be their judge over here? Who's going to be their king? And Matthew portrays Jesus Christ. That's another good reason why, you know, people can't, you know, Jesus is God. In other words, it's simple I can share with you. Verse 23. Thou tacklings are loose. They could not well strengthen their mass. They shall not spread their sail. Then as the prey of the great spoil divide, the lame take the prey. And the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. I share that all with you because Isaiah is prophesying of what? A future kingdom. That when the Lord Jesus Christ gets on this earth, he's the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Go heal, preaching, teaching, and healing what? All manners of sickness. And all manners of sickness. And the kingdom. That there ain't going to be no sicknesses and stuff, okay? You with me? Let's close there. Father, we do thank you for the things you've given us freely. In Jesus Christ, amen.